In June of last year, my next guest, Lucy Caldwell, spoke to us about her collection of short stories. It was called Intimacies. Now she's back with a novel called These Days, about a city under siege from a vicious four-day bombing campaign. Though that may sound like a report from the current war in Ukraine, These Days is in fact set in World War II, and the city in question is Belfast. To find out now about the now almost forgotten Belfast Blitz and the fiction that she has created around it, I'm delighted to be joined on the programme this evening by Lucy Caldwell. Lucy, I suppose for most people, when you hear Blitz and you think of World War II, you're probably going to think of London or perhaps some other British city in England, Scotland or Wales, but you're not going to think, I think, of Belfast. What was it that drew you to Belfast during this period of its history?
That's right, Sean. Thanks for having me on. Well, it started when my son was a toddler. He was obsessed with this book called People by Janet and Ellen Allberg. And it's a day in the life of a young baby against the backdrop of the London Blitz. And I had to read him this book every night for months. And we were living at the time in East London, in a part of the city that had been really badly hit by the London Blitz. And I would be reading it to him thinking, if we were half a metre on the other side of this bedroom wall, we wouldn't have survived. You know, most of the street had been flattened. And you can't come from the place and time that I come from without thinking of, you know, the vagaries of chance of being in one building rather than another, or being 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes late, or walking one way or running another way. And I started to think that there had been a Belfast Blitz. You know, I could remember my grandma telling stories. I could remember my dad has stories of his uncles running up the Black Mountain to collect shrapnel. And so I went looking for it in fiction, which is the first thing I always do. And I was so surprised to find there's almost nothing. There's a very, very fine novel by Brian Moore called The Emperor of Ice Cream, which was reissued last year, in fact, by Turnpike Press. And Brian Moore worked as an air raid warden during the Blitz, and he wrote this brilliant, brilliant novel. And there's a section that I found much later in Mary Beckett's novel.
Do you know what, Lucy? I'm going to stop you.
Nothing else.
Yeah. I'm going to stop you there, Lucy. Just our line is rather bad. I'm going to get you back on the phone. We'll try you on a different phone. However, we've got Lucy Caldwell back on the line. Lucy's speaking to us this evening about her new album, These Days. And you were telling us just before we broke off there, Lucy, this Belfast Blitz, something that, first of all, a wonderful story about your son and that picture book and how random the London Blitz was. You were living in a street where, if you've been living in a flat at the time, a couple of metres away, you wouldn't be here. However, the Belfast Blitz is not as well known, but you were beginning to explain to me that it was actually part of your family lore, or certainly there were stories that were told at home. Tell me a bit more about those stories and who told them to you.
That's right. I could remember my grandma telling stories of the Belfast Blitz, although she was dead. You know, I hadn't captured those stories in time. And my dad had stories of his uncles running up the Black Mountain to collect shrapnel from planes. And I started to look for the Blitz in fiction of the city. Mm. And there's a wonderful novel by Brian Moore, the great Belfast novelist, called The Emperor of Ice Cream, which was reissued last year, in fact, by Turnpike Press. And Brian Moore worked as an air raid warden. And so he wrote this wonderful novel. And there's a section in Mary Beckett's novel, Given Stones, where a young mill girl, a young Millie mill worker, is evacuated to the countryside. But there's nothing else. But I started realising that although it's almost as if, you know, the later version of the bombed city obliterates that previous version, but it's still just about within living memory.
Yeah.
And so I started speaking to people who were children when the Blitz happened. I spoke to one woman, in fact, who in the year of her 103rd birthday
Wow.
was posted to Belfast to work during the Blitz. And we're at this point, we're now in the spring of 2020, and COVID was closing in. And so gathering all these stories started to feel Yeah. so urgent and so precious, you Yeah. know, as for all these people.
Well, let's get the kind of what did happen and when it did happen. It was in April, essentially. It was in the middle of April of the year 1941. April and May 1941, wasn't it? That these
That's
series
right.
of bombings happened. So, how long did it go on for, and what sort of damage was done?
Well, there were four air raids between April to May 1941, and they caused some of the worst devastation. I think there were one or two raids in London that were worse, but apart from that, the sheer, the loss of life, the damage done to the city, it was just extraordinary. It was terrible. And there were Luftwaffe pilots on record saying, my God, what have we done? You know, there are Irish news reports interviewing people saying, the city will never recover, Belfast is over. I know part of this due to the historian Brian Barton has a magisterial book. It's the work of a lifetime, you know, collecting so much of this testimony and this news report. And in the and online archives as well, there are these stories of just how bad the scale of the damage was.
Yeah, and of course, that period was exactly the time that the North Strand bombing happened in Dublin, and that was supposedly a mistake where the Luftwaffe pilots thought they were over Belfast. Was there this thought in Belfast, however, that, the German planes can't fly this far, they're not able to make it that far across from the continent?
Yes, they thought that Belfast was beyond the navigational range of a Luftwaffe plane. They also thought that being part of the islands of Ireland would protect them, because ERA, as it was neutral. But I think it was a degree of magical thinking as well, that this thing wouldn't happen. You know, London, it was a whole year after war was declared before London was bombed. And this is 9 months later. And in Parliament, people were saying, we have to prepare, we're unprepared. But, you know, the ground in Belfast is so boggy, it was not very possible to dig lots of deep air raid shelters. Belfast had some of the worst slum and tenement housing, you know, all the industrial, like the two up, two down, that had overcrowding. And so there were a lot of problems that people had this feeling that this thing was inevitable, and yet they were underprepared. And the residences, when we were going into our first lockdown, it felt so stark, you know. It felt as if I understood what these people were feeling and what they were living through.
Yeah, just talk to me a little bit more about that, because you said it was March 2020 when you started to kind of think about writing this and to start to do the research on it, just as we were heading in, or just at the point when we were heading into that first lockdown. How did the two start to speak to, those two things start to speak to each other for you?
Well, I'd been doing the research for a few months before. It was kind of in March that I started writing the book for the first time. And it felt to me, it was really uncanny. It felt as if a portal opened between worlds. You know, there was lots of, I think, quite lazy talk of Blitz spirit, you know, that I was reading in the media. But it seemed to me there was this feeling of terror in the air. You know, we didn't know how bad this thing was going to be. We didn't know how long it was going to last. We didn't know if we would make it through. And I started to, you know, the amount of people who, in that first lockdown and as COVID set in, who their relationships broke up, or suddenly their relationships accelerated very fast. Yeah. You know, people made radical decisions about the way that they were living or the people that they were loving. So there was a lot of that, you know, going on. And at the same time, my own children then were 5 and 2. And I was thinking, what are they going to remember of this? And I was speaking to people who had been children in the Blitz, and the things that they remembered were, you know, a new dress being made for their doll after the doll had been scorched or hurt, injured in the ashes of a building sort of thing. Or they remember the time that the greengrocer had oranges in. And it was this reminder that for children, despite the horror and the confusion and the palpable fear, there were these tiny bright points as well. You know, quotidian life goes on.
Yeah, and
you know, you don't get another chance to have your birthday or to get the first bicycle or whatever it might be.
You could not have predicted, of course, that the kind of scenes that you describe in the book, you know, and those ideas of children, little small things like toys and life going on normally, you couldn't have predicted that at the point at which the novel is published, we would be witnessing very similar scenes to some of those you describe in the book. You know, people having to leave their homes, families displaced, happening in Kyiv.
I know. I was in Berlin last week on a trip with a few Northern Irish writers, and it felt so, it brought such a strange and terrible new resonance to the book, reading it on the day that war was declared. And I saw a very, very moving tweet that went viral, I think, that was by a young Ukrainian saying, you're about to see images of our city destroyed and us as victims, but we're not. We're not just these things. We are normal people too. We're just normal people trying to live our lives. And it was almost impossibly moving, you know, thinking of everything that was happening just, you know, 600, there was a sign saying 670 kilometres from East Berlin to the front. Yeah. So I'm very, very close indeed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure being on continental Europe, being on that particular landmass, must have given a very immediate feel to what you were listening to on the news. But talk to me a little bit more about the 103-year-old woman and the type of things that she told you. When did you speak to her? Was that was early in 2022, was it?
Yes, I spoke to her during the lockdown, and she, elderly, of course, became crystal clear memories, and she spoke. She was posted to Belfast to work at Fighter Command in Stormont after the first raid, and she actually fell in love with an Ulsterman and stayed, and so lived the rest of her life there. She never went back to England.
Wow.
And she talked of the way that they would be in the big room in Stormont, and they would have headsets in, and there would be a table, the big, big table covered with a map, and they would be listening on their radio headset and plotting physically with pins the movement, the confirmed movement of the Luftwaffe planes, and trying to work out where those planes should be intercepted and what their likely course should be. And she also told me about the outfit that she wore on her wedding day, and she told me about the time that she and all the other girls, as she called them, would put on their civvies and go into town for a dance. And so it was a lot of the details. It was hearing about the dove grey costume, as she called it, that she wore on her wedding day, that she needed something because, of course, there were coupons and rationing, and she needed something that would last, that could be done over. And hearing all the tiny little details, as well as the details of what wartime work was like, were so precious.
Yeah, and finally, you tell the story for the most part through the eyes of two sisters, Audrey and Emma. Was there something about the sisterly relationship that you wanted to explore in the midst of all of this, or were you looking at war from particularly the war experience, particularly from a female perspective?
Yes, I think most of my writing tends to be from a female perspective or telling women's stories. Mm. And so the two sisters, I think they're our way into the novel. But the novel also takes in their mother, it takes in their younger brother, it takes in a lot of characters of children and women, different women around the city. It takes in their little maid, it takes in a lost child, it takes in lots of different characters all over the city of Belfast, really.
Yeah, it does tell all of those wartime tales. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us this evening, Lucy. That's Lucy Caldwell talking to us about her new novel called These Days, which is published by Faber.